You're listening to Come Follow Me Weekly, a weekly podcast with thoughts and insights for the Come Follow Me lessons of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Heather Weber. Thanks for being here with me this week. The title of this week's lesson is Come Unto Christ and Be Perfected in Him, and it covers Moroni 10. Have you ever seen the show The Amazing Race? And when they get to the end, there's the host, Phil, and he's standing there on the platform, and the winners come up, and he says to them, whatever he says, 23 countries, 13 weeks, you finished the amazing race. I feel like, in some ways, I'm finishing my own amazing race this week. 88 episodes, 165,000 downloads, 35 countries, and here we are at the end. I actually recorded this episode yesterday, but I was pretty emotional, and I ended up crying through most of it, so I decided I would redo it today. I'm feeling much more emotionally stable today. The opening paragraph of this week's lesson says, "The Book of Mormon opens with Nephi's promise to show us that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom he hath chosen because of their faith. The book closes with a similar message from Moroni as he prepared to seal up the records. He invited us to remember how merciful the Lord hath been. Even if we think only of the many mercies recorded in the Book of Mormon, this gives us a lot to think about. What examples come to your mind? You might ponder the merciful way God led Lehi's family through the wilderness and across the great waters, the tender mercies he showed to Enos when his soul hungered for forgiveness, or the mercy he showed to Alma, a bitter enemy of the church, who became one of its fearless defenders. Or your thoughts might turn to the mercy the resurrected Savior showed to the people when he healed their sick and blessed their little children. Perhaps most important, all of this can remind you of how merciful the Lord hath been to you. For one of the main purposes of the Book of Mormon is to invite each of us to receive God's mercy, an invitation expressed simply in Moroni's farewell words, come unto Christ and be perfected in him." Well, we have made it to the last chapter in the Book of Mormon. Who knew when we started this year what a trial this year would be, and what a blessing reading the Book of Mormon this year would be? I mean, the Book of Mormon is great, and we should always be reading it and studying it. But this year, we just needed it. We needed these messages. This book was meant for this time, and I think that we've seen that very plainly this year. So many times this year when I would get disappointing news or feel frustrated about the latest thing to be canceled or shut down, when I would sit down to study these lessons, I would immediately feel peace. And it's helped me to see more clearly where peace truly comes from in my life and where I can go to find actual truth. Moroni chapter 10 is Moroni's last testimony to us before he seals up the records. And it's been more than 420 years since the Savior's birth. The Lamanite and Nephite nations have all but destroyed themselves, and Moroni is alone. In verse 3, he says, "Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men, from the creation of Adam even down until the time that ye shall receive these things, and ponder it in your hearts." And that's one message that has really stuck out to me the most this year as I've read these chapters. And the one that I think we really needed this year is the message that the Lord does not forget his people. We've seen it over and over, week after week, as we've studied these people and their stories. Because each one of us are also people with stories. And these same promises and blessings that applied to the people of the Book of Mormon also apply to us. Moroni says that the Lord has been merciful from the creation of Adam even down to the time where we receive these things. And that means until this very day. The people of the Book of Mormon lived in a different time, but they're just people, just like us, trying to do the best they can. They had faults, they had failings, but as they tried, they got the help that they needed, and everything worked out for the best in the end. And we also read about several people and groups of people who forgot the Lord and ignored the things they once knew were true. And they tried to go their own way. And in the end, nothing worked out well for them at all. The last thing Moroni tells us to do in that verse is to ponder these things in our hearts. I heard a quote once that said, "When we pray, we speak to God. But when we read the scriptures, he speaks to us." When we read the scriptures and then take time to study these things out in our minds and sit quietly and think about what these scriptures are really saying to us today, we allow the Holy Ghost to speak so that we can hear the messages that the Lord has for us individually. The church in the past couple of years has really pushed the message to hear him. because we need personal revelation in our lives now more than ever. And studying the words of the scriptures is one way that we can put ourselves in a position to do that and to receive those personal messages that we so desperately need. If you click on the word ponder in that verse, it comes up with the words study and meditate, and then it links to a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, which says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." We need to do more than just read the Book of Mormon. We need to make its messages and doctrines a part of who we are. We can read about Nephi's faith, but how can we use that example to become more faithful? We can read what Mormon has to say about charity and what a great quality it is, but do we try and work on those qualities in our own lives? And so many more things that we learn from these people and these scriptures. These messages are for us today because these are the things that will help us become who we need to become and help us get through this complicated and sometimes tough life that we live. The Lord knew exactly what kind of world we would be living in, and He gave us these things to help us to have the very best chance of making it through with our testimonies intact and feeling peace instead of despair. And I've had the thought dozens of times this year, where would I be without the gospel in my life? The fact that I know that the Lord is in charge of this whole mess, that there's actually someone in control, and it's not the president of any country or the president of any company. Influential people on this earth might think that they have all the answers, but they really don't. The only real plan that is going to work and win out in the end is the Lord's plan, and knowing that has brought me great peace. President Nelson recently said, "During these perilous times of which the Apostle Paul prophesied, Satan is no longer even trying to hide his attacks on God's plan. Emboldened evil abounds. Therefore, the only way to survive spiritually is to be determined to let God prevail in our lives, to learn to hear His voice, and to use our energy to help gather Israel." And I think for me, that's why I felt really strongly lately that this next year I need to focus on my home and my family and my personal life and just things going on right here. I think that's where we need to put our focus. I think the world is just going to get more contentious and more crazy, and we need to make our homes spiritual sanctuaries, like President Nelson has also talked about. The Book of Mormon is full of people who let God prevail in their lives, and it's full of people who didn't. And hopefully, by pondering these examples, it will help us to learn how and to let God prevail in our own lives. In verses 4 and 5, Moroni says, "And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, He will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things." If you're a person who has not yet received a testimony of the Book of Mormon or of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, or if you're just spiritually struggling, please take Moroni's advice and talk to your Heavenly Father about it. This book and the Gospel of Jesus Christ are true. And I know that if you ask, really wanting to know, He will tell you. And I know that's true because I've tried it, and He told me. And He tells me again and again every time I take the time to study and ponder these words. And isn't it an amazing blessing that we can know the truth of all things? To me, that doesn't mean that just because I pray and try my best, that I will automatically have all the answers to my life's problems. But it does mean that I can feel peace about all of my life's problems, and that I can feel the Lord's help and love in my life as I try to work through things the best I can. And the truth that I do know is that as I try and as I let God prevail in my life, that things will work out for the best. And most of the time, it's better than I even ever could have imagined. Moroni goes on to talk about spiritual gifts. In verse 8, he says, "And again, I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all, and they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them." So every one of us has been blessed with spiritual gifts. In the lesson it says, some people deny that these gifts even exist. Others might deny that they have spiritual gifts, but recognize them in other people. Still others deny their gifts by simply neglecting them or failing to develop them. And I think it's that last statement that we need to worry about the most. What are we doing to develop the gifts that we have? This life is completely full of distractions. And to me, that's one of the biggest tools that Satan is using in these last days to get good people to become complacent and to frustrate God's plan on the earth. There are 7.5 billion people in the world, and there are 16.5 million members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have something that the world needs, and our Heavenly Father has given us each gifts that can help us in sharing what we have with other people. There's a quote in the lesson from Elder John C. Pingree who said, "So how do we come to know our gifts? We can reference our patriarchal blessing, ask those who know us best, and personally identify what we are naturally good at and enjoy. Most important, we can ask God. He knows our gifts since He gave them to us." The lesson also talks about how we might recognize gifts in other people, but not in ourselves. When I started this podcast, it was just for me, as a way to make better use of my time. And I never really intended for anyone else to even hear it. And at first, I was so embarrassed by it that I didn't even tell my family I was doing it. And it took me a long time to get comfortable with having people listen to what I had to say. But as I have kept at it over these last 2 years, it's turned into something really awesome, for me at least. And it's helped me grow as a person, and hopefully it's helped a few other people along the way too. I believe that we're all a lot more capable than we give ourselves credit for. And sometimes we just need to follow those promptings and step out of our comfort zones. And when we do, we'll be amazed at what can happen. I recently saw a quote on Instagram that President Uchtdorf shared from his wife. And she said this, "Some of you are married, some are single, but all of you are living among the people of this world. You are the chosen ones of our days, who by word and deed teach and live the gospel message among the people. For this purpose, you are placed in your village or city, your school or workplace, your nation, and your family. Please don't forget, you have a light to share. You have the potential to be angels of glory to those around you." I love that message, and I think it's so true. Each one of us has something to share. And if we pray and ask our Heavenly Father what He wants us to do, and then go out and do it, we can make amazing things happen. In verse 27, Moroni says, "And I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that ye shall know that I lie not, for ye shall see me at the bar of God. And the Lord God will say unto you, Did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, like as one crying from the dead, yea, even as one speaking out of the dust?" If we don't take the opportunity to know the truth of these things and make them effective in our lives, eventually we will know, because Moroni will be standing there when we someday meet our Savior and our Heavenly Father. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one standing there telling him that all of his efforts were wasted on my behalf. We have these writings and these stories to help us learn lessons that can make our lives easier and happier today. Why would we not take advantage of that? The last section of this lesson talks about how we can be perfected through the grace of Jesus Christ. In verse 32, it says, "Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God." In the lesson it says, Moroni's admonition to come unto Christ involves more than learning about Him or thinking about Him more often, or even trying harder to keep His commandments, as important as these things are. Rather, this is an invitation to come unto Christ in the most complete sense possible, to become as He is. And how we individually do that is personal to each one of us. We're all different, with different experiences and talents and challenges. Moroni encourages us to lay hold upon every good thing, to deny ourselves of all ungodliness, and to be perfected in Him. Those are easy things, right? They're not. But this is a lifelong pursuit that happens one day at a time. And that's why we're encouraged to study the Book of Mormon every day, because as we grow and change throughout our lives, these messages kind of grow and change with us. Certain scriptures that we may have read 100 times might pop out at us in a new way based on where we're at the time and the things that we individually need. This book is true, and it is written for us and for our day. And if we can't see the truth of that through studying it throughout this year, I don't know what to tell you. In the last verse, the last words of Moroni to all of us are these, "And now I bid unto all farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and dead. Amen. We made it through the Book of Mormon, and I want to thank each one of you so much for joining me in my study this year. As I close this week and this year, I want to give a special shout out to a few people. I want to say thanks to Carrie for all of your encouraging words, and thanks to Danielle for always being so kind to me. To Mary and her sweet friends in Hawaii, I think of you all the time when I'm freezing here in Idaho. I want to thank Laura for being supportive and non-judgmental. And I want to thank Leanne for all your kind words, and to Natalie and to everyone else who has messaged me over these last couple of years. I really do appreciate each one of you. And most of all, I want to say thank you to my family, to my husband, Doug, and to my kids, Justin, Ryan, Hannah, Emma, and Jacob. You guys are the best people I know, and I love you. And I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Have a great day, everyone.